Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY26 Regal Resources Earnings Conference Call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Dipali Kumari from Arihant Capital Markets. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Hello and good morning to everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, I thank you all for joining into the Q4 and full year FY26 earnings conference call of Regal Resources Limited. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Anil Kishore Puriya, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Karan Kishore Puriya, Whole-time Director, Mr. Saket Chatterjee, CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Sancheti, Investor Relations at Euroz Advisors. So, without any further delay, I will hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Dipali. Good afternoon to all the participants. Before I hand over the call to Mr. Anil Kishore Puriya for his opening remarks, I would like to draw your attention to the safe harbor statement included in the earnings presentation. I request all the participants to kindly review the same and have a good look at it prior to the commencement of the Q&A session. Over to you, Mr. Kishore Puriya.
Namaste and good morning, everyone. On behalf of Regal Resources Limited, I extend a warm welcome to all participants joining us today for our first earnings call since our listing on NSE and BSE in August 25. We are truly delighted to have you with us. We present our performance Q4 and the full financial year FY26. Allow me to begin by introducing Regal to those who may be newer to our society. Regal Resources Limited is a maize-based specialty product manufacturer. Found in 2016 and operational till FY2018, we are headquartered in Kolkata and our manufacturing facility is located in Kishanganj, Bihar, strategically situated in the heart of one of India's top three maize-cultivating states, contributing approximately 11.6% to the country's total maize production. Our location provides us direct access to high-quality raw material at competitive prices, proximity to the Dalkola Mandi and Gulabbagh Mandi, one of India's largest maize markets and a natural gateway to South Asian export markets too. We are positioned close to Nepal and Bangladesh borders, and our export reach extends further south, South Asia, enabling us to serve international customers at competitive freight costs. The facility is spread over 55 acres with abundant land available to support future operations, expansions, sorry. We operate an integrated maize wet milling facility with a diverse product portfolio spanning three broad categories. Our main products include native starch, native maize starch, edible starch, and a range of modified starch such as white dextrin, yellow dextrin, and oxidized starches. We also manufacture value-added consumer products like maize flour, custard powder, and baking powder. In addition, our wet milling process generates commercially valuable co-products such as maize germ, maize gluten, maize fiber, maize stiff liquor, and enriched fiber, which cater to the animal nutrition and food production industries. Our end-users industries span food and beverages, pharmaceuticals, paper and packaging, textiles, adhesives, and animal nutrition, giving us a well-diversified revenue base across both domestic and international markets. Since commencing operations at 180 TPD in FY18, we have scaled rapidly to 330 TPD in FY22, 650 TPD in FY24, 750 TPD by FY25, 825 TPD by FY26, and 1,650 TPD in May 2026, making us one of the fastest-growing maize wet milling companies in India, with a revenue CAGR of 32.5% from FY23 to FY26. As of March 26, we had 345 customers, out of which 134 customers have been onboarded during the year, with a dealer channel accounting for 65.5% of annual revenue, reflecting the strength and depth of our distribution network. Our infrastructure is a key competitive moat. We operate 65,000 MT of maize storage capacity across 4 humidity-controlled silos and raw material godowns, ensuring supply security through harvest and non-harvest seasons alike. We are largely self-reliant on power, with approximately 81% of our electricity requirements in FY26 sourced from a captive co-generation plant. We are also one of the few maize wet milling facilities in India to operate a zero liquid discharge unit, underscoring our commitment to sustainable operations. We are recognized as a one-star export house by the Director General of Foreign Trade, Ministry of Commerce and Industry. Regal benefits meaningfully from policy support under the Bihar Industrial Investment Promotion Policy as BIPP, which provides for interest subvention and state GST reimbursement, a structural advantage that lowers the effective cost of capital and supports margin resilience. We would like to place on record our sincere gratitude to the government of Bihar for its continued support for industrial development in the state. The incentives and policy framework extended under BIPP have played an important role enabling our expansion and investment programs, supporting us in scaling operations and creating long-term economic value within the state. Now, before I move the financial results for FY26, I'm delighted to share a landmark development that marks a new chapter for Regal. We are pleased to inform on 26 May 2026, we successfully commissioned a significant expansion of our manufacturing infrastructure. Our crushing capacity has been scaled up to 1650 tons per day, completed by the addition of new derivative manufacturing facilities, being liquid glucose at 180 tons per day and maltodextrin powder at 50 tons per day. Simultaneously, our captive cogeneration power plant has been expanded additionally by 10 megawatts, taking the total power capacity to 15.8 megawatt, meaningfully strengthening our energy and self-sufficiency. This commissioning marks a significant milestone in Regal's journey towards being a diversified maize-based specialty product company. It strengthens our presence in higher value-added maize derivative products and enhances our ability to cater to evolving customer requirements across the food, pharmaceuticals, agriculture, and healthcare sectors. At 1650 tons per day, Regal now operates as the largest maize milling facility in eastern India, further strengthening our manufacturing scale and long-term growth prospects. Beyond expanding our product portfolio and enhancing production capacities, we believe this expansion will contribute meaningfully to the employment generation in Bihar. The project is expected to create 1,475 additional direct employment opportunities, taking our total on-road workforce to approximately 950 employees, while also generating significant indirect opportunities across contractual labor, logistics, warehousing, transportation, procurement, allied services, and the broader agriculture value chain. Most importantly, this growth will continue to support the livelihoods of farmers and strengthen the rural economy in this region. Looking further ahead, we are expanding our value-added portfolio products with introduction of dextrose anhydrous, dextrose monohydrate, hydrol, along with further additions to our modified starch range, including ketonic starch, carboxymethyl starch, and pre-gel starch. These are categories where we see strong and growing demand and where we believe we are well positioned to capture meaningful market share. As we progress with project execution, the opportunity set became increasingly compelling, both in terms of breadth of value-added products we could bring market and strategic importance to building a robust energy-efficient facility for the long term. This led us to revise our CapEx outlay upwards from approximately 430 crores to approximately 540 crores. This is the additional outlay which we are doing, with the incremental investment directed towards expanding the value-added products pipeline and scaling up the captive cogeneration plant capacity beyond what was originally envisaged. We view this as a high conviction allocation of capital, and commissioning of all the above facilities expected over the course of FY27. These additions are aimed at deepening our presence in the high-value-added derivative segments, driving margins, accretion, and positioning Regal as more complete maize processing platform. The growing demand for maize derivatives, coupled with our strategic location, integrated infrastructure, and strong sourcing capabilities, positions us well to create sustainable value for all our stakeholders. We continue to build our international footprint with a particular focus on Southeastern Asian markets, where we see significant long-term potential for maize-based derivatives. The recent softening in raw material prices has meaningfully improved our global cost competitiveness, enabling us to engage more effectively with international customers and compete on more compelling terms. This improving competitive positioning is already translating into tangible outcomes. During the period, we secured a sizable export order, which not only strengthens near-term export revenue visibility but also reinforces our credentials as a reliable supplier in the international markets. Coming to our financial performance, for the full year FY26, our operating income stood at 1,134.2 crores. PAT for FY26 stood at 55.6 crores, with a margin of 4.9%. I'm pleased to share that the board has recommended a dividend of 0.25 per share, subject to the shareholders' approval. We remain focused on optimizing our expanded operations while maintaining strong capital discipline and a commitment to sustainable business practices. With a significantly enhanced manufacturing platform, we continue to monitor macroeconomic trends and demand dynamics closely and stand ready to adapt our strategy to ensure long-term value creation for all our stakeholders. We have just commissioned a significant expansion of a manufacturing facility, and as customary with any large-scale commissioning, the facility will progressively ramp up to optimal operating levels over the coming weeks. Concurrently, corn prices have begun to soften, a trend viewed constructively, though we believe it would be prudent to allow this to play out over another quarter before drawing conclusions on structural trajectory. Given that we are at an important inflection point, with new capacities coming on stream and input cost dynamics evolving, we feel it is most appropriate to wait for a quarter of stabilized operation before offering a formal earnings outlook. We believe this approach better serves our investors by ensuring that any guidance we provide is grounded in demonstrated operating performance rather than early-stage assumptions. We look forward to sharing a more comprehensive view of our earnings trajectory by the end of H1 FY27. I will now hand over to our CFO, Mr. Shekhar Chatterjee, to take you through the financials in greater detail, following which we will be happy to address your questions.
Thank you, Anil sir, and very good morning, everyone. I will now take you through the key financial highlights for Q4 FY26 and the full year FY26, and I trust you had the opportunity to review our earnings presentation and financial disclosures. FY26 was a year of strong growth for Regal. Our operating income grew by 23.9% year-on-year to 1,134.2 crores, 1,134.2 crores, while value-added increased by 18% to 295.8 crores. Operating EBITDA for FY26 stood at 126.6 crores, with a margin of 11.2%. The improvement in the operating of EBITDA margin during FY 2026 reflects better realizations. The margin expansion during the year was partly offset by higher freight and forwarding costs within other expenses, along with relatively higher shutdown days during March 2026, which impacted crushing volumes and operating leverage during the period. The PAT stood at 55.6 crore with a margin of 4.9%. For Q4 FY 2026, operating income stood at 244.6 crore, while operating EBITDA stood at 32.5 crore with a margin of 13.3%. PAT for the quarter stood at 16.5 crore with a margin of 6.8%, reflecting sequential improvement in profitability and operating performance. From a balance sheet perspective, the net debt equity ratio improved to 1.1x from 1.9 in FY 2025, and the company's cash conversion cycle improved significantly to 50 days in FY 2026 from 93 days in FY 2025, driven by tighter working capital management, supported by lower inventory and receivable days. Overall, FY 2026 marked an important year for Eagle, with strong growth across revenues, profitability, and operational scale, alongside a meaningful progress on our strategic expansion initiatives. As we move ahead, we remain focused on strengthening our value-added product portfolio, improving operating efficiencies, and driving sustainable long-term growth while maintaining prudent financial discipline. With that, I would like to open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. In the interest of time and fairness to others, please restrict yourselves to two questions. For any more questions, you may rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Surya Naik with Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me opportunity.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Surya. You're not quite audible. Please be a little louder.
Am I louder now?
Yes. Yes, much better. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me opportunity and congratulations for great set of numbers and new capacities are coming up that is on time. Okay. Sir, my first question is that regarding the procurement season currently going on. Considering the 65,000 storage capacities divided between the silos and warehouses, what is your procurement strategy for the year? Hello?
We basically three-pronged strategy. We buy directly from farmers during the season, during the Rabi season that starts from April to July, basically. There's spillover also. Farmers also supply in August and September, but main season is from April to July. That's one where we procure our maximum requirement. Second is we have opened FPCs, farmer procurement centers, across 27 locations all over our area for about six, seven districts, say, about 20 km to 100 km around our plant, where all these farmers are giving material to those centers, and we are then transporting it from there to us to our plant. Third is very little of material we also buy from traders all across and from different states for our requirement, whatever requirement is balanced.
Because, sir, if we calculate the current capacity per day, then the storage capacity is enough for around 40 days. For the entire, let's say, operating days of 330 days, how are you managing? That is my understanding.
We have already agreement of, we have warehouses all across around our factory from 500 m to maximum 80 km, where we are stocking this material. We have entire thing of about 2,40,000 tons of material, godowns all across. So that 240-65 with us, and that four months of operations ka jo hum logon ka requirement hota hai, that we get directly. So basically this zeroes to the entire 90% of our requirement. The balance 10-15% comes across all the 12 months from other states.
Okay. So now, see, in earlier years, last year, we had a significant revenue operations from the trading around 30%+. So yes, with the advent of the new capacity, what kind of that revenue to come down, or it will be totally vanished?
So it will come down considerably. It will be near to zero. Near to zero. I will not say that it will not be a crore or 5 crore. It will be near to zero. Okay. We don't have any plans to do any trading because we will not be having maize to trade.
But just to add here is that in some months where the MOQ is short, we may do some procurement for the size discounts. But otherwise, like earlier, the MOQs were very high and our requirement was very low, so we had to do higher trading. So this is not, this trading business is not to earn revenue, but to get the best deal on the raw materials. We should be very clear about that.
Got it. So, sir, some more capex is still to be done regarding the dextrose anhydrase and dextrose monohydrate and hydrol in later part, maybe third quarter of this year. So, how much is that will be coming?
How much of debt will be coming?
No, how much capex will be?
Capex will be coming. Sir, we have already mentioned in my speech what I said. About 540 odd crore rupees. Capex has already is envisaged for completion in 2026-27, out of which about 401 crore rupees we have already spent by 31st of March 26. So balance 140 crores will be coming in this year.
Out of which we would have already spent some more between now and 31st March, but for the full financial year for this project, the outlay is another 140 crores starting from 1st of April 2026.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Keshav Garg with Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
So firstly, wanted to understand that what is the expected sales volume for FY27, which was 2.65 lakh tons for FY26?
So we are at present refraining from any guidance. Let's try and wait for a quarter before we can give a guidance. Let the plant stabilize. I think we have read out very clearly that we don't want to come out with the reckless guidance. We want to just see how the plant stabilizes over the next few weeks. So we would not be keen to give a guidance at this point in time. But you can do your own mathematics, seeing the size of the plant and the expansion. That's something which you can do on your own.
Sir, now another question is on the margins. Sir, so there has been no significant improvement on a Q-on-Q basis. In fact, the margins have declined on a Q-on-Q basis, even if we take out the purchase of traded goods. So operating margin has declined from 19% to 14% quarter-on-quarter. Whereas, sir, if we look at the industry leader, Gujarat Ambuja Export, their margin has increased from 6 to 15% quarter-on-quarter. So I'm not able to understand why it is the reverse for us and for the rest of the industry. Everybody has shown quarter-on-quarter improvement in margins.
Are you talking about YOY? Quarterly YOY?
No, sir, I'm talking about quarter-on-quarter, Q4 versus Q3.
So I think it has increased. I don't know what number you're seeing.
No, sir, if you see our EBITDA for the third quarter was basically 35%.
EBITDA has gone down because of the, because we ramped up our, cost for the expansion. But if you have to look at the value add level, right, the value add is increased. So this is not reflective of, because while the capacity has gone live now, but we had to ramp up the, to the expansion commissioning, we had to ramp up the cost. So you will see steady state margins going forward from maybe second or third quarter. Even if it has I don't know what number you're seeing. You're seeing the absolute number, but if you look at the EBITDA margin, operating EBITDA margin has gone up from 10.7% to 13.3% in spite of the ramp up of costs for the expansion. So I am not sure. Please see the presentation. The numbers are very clearly highlighted there.
The next question comes from the line of Khushi Pare with ValueWise. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Could you please elaborate on a white labeling strategy and its expected contribution to volumes and profitability?
White labeling strategy we are doing. At the moment, we started with one company. Now we have four companies on our enrolled. I would not want to disclose their name at this moment, but we are increasing that, and the volumes have increasing of the white labeling quite a bit. And percentage wise, if you say we were doing if in volume terms we were doing at about 16,500 earlier, about 2 to 2.5% of the starch quantity as white labeling, but this will now go up to quite considerably. Within H1.
Okay, so thank you. And one more question. How is the current maize procurement and pricing environment, and what is the outlook for raw material availability and cost?
And the availability of raw material in Bihar was never a problem. There are abundant raw material available, and Bihar is a net exporter of raw material to all these states. So there, that is not an issue, and the price, of course, is a market-driven prices. From last year to compared to last year and this year, the prices of maize has really come down quite considerably, and that is what we expected, that it will be good for the entire industry.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Harsh Saraswat with Srujan Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Anilji. Many congratulations on your CAPEX coming on stream.
Thank you, sir. I have a few questions.
Can you explain a bit on the Bihar interest subvention scheme? What is the eligible amount and what is the timing of receipt of getting it back from the government? And is there any delay from the government's part? Uske alawa, jise, matlab, should we take 5% as a cost of your debt on the total for the year?
Sir, the Bihar State Promotion Board policy, which came in 2016, which was amended in 2025, and the interest subvention was increased. There was temporary policy which they had taken out. It gives us whatever capital, whatever money we are taking from scheduled banks for the construction of the infrastructure for making of the factory and production. That entire loan is subvented by the Bihar board till the tune of 10% per annum rate of interest charged by the government. That is the capping. And 20 crore rupees is also the capping, which we'll have to take it in 5 years. If we take 17 crores or 18 crores, 2 crore, 3 crore will not get. It will be. And if we take about 20 crores in 4 years, then we cannot get more than 20 crores. So our entire loan portfolio is strategically placed that we are able to consume that entire 20 crore rupees in 5 years. And normally our loan is for 6 years. So, ek saal ka humne hamare pocket se lagta hai. And this is, to my experience, past 7 years, this is always paid within the quarter of next year. We file the application of, say, for example, March and April first week, and this interest comes into our bank account by June, usually. That's about 90% of the times.
So, sir, how is this treated in the accounts? Because what I see, interest cost is 5% currently. So, is it already deducted from the interest, which is debited in the P&L?
Yes, it is already been deducted from the interest cost, which is coming and which you are seeing in your profit and loss account.
So, matlab basis pe na karke apan isko pehle deduct kar lete hain.
Right. Usko receivable khada karke, usko interest cost mein credit karte hain.
Okay. And sir, how should we think about the working capital intensity after this expansion? Is H1 usually the heaviest period because of the maize inventory buildup?
It's a fine graph which forms. The working capital requirement increases in Q1. It goes up to maybe up in the Q2, and then it will steadily fall down from Q3 to Q4. So your cash conversion cycle should be around between, at present we are at 50 cash conversion cycle, and it should roam around between 75 to 50 days.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Himanshu Visani with Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the CapEx going live. So my question is around value-added products. Your contribution from value-added products to the revenue has, gone up significantly and is growing rapidly. How are you planning to, scale this? What is our strategy with the new capacity also live? And how can that translate into the margins?
So translation into margin, of course, if value-added products will increase, margins will increase. At the moment, we will not be able to give you guidance on that. But with all these products of liquid glucose and maltodextrin powder, later dextrose, and a number of modified starch, and also we are already started manufacturing Gulal. So for, again, that's a white labeling we're doing for a manufacturer. So these all things will substantially, I would say, super substantially increase our value-added portfolio from what currently we are.
Understood. And so to an earlier participant, you
And also,
just that, please appreciate that the capacity is doubling, right? Even at the crushing level. So economies of scale will play because this is a brownfield expansion or a greenfield expansion. So we will not double our overhead costs. So that also will start playing. Obviously, what will also help us is the size of our procurement, that we will have a better bargaining power.
Okay, so just to understand, sir, the economies of scale and the value-added products would be a double push to our margins, if is what you're saying.
Absolutely, absolutely correct.
Understood.
Both will play together. It's going to be a double engine growth vehicle.
Great, thank you. Sir, on the debt side, I think you mentioned that 150 crores of capex is yet to come. What is that, if you can explain that, and where it is going?
I think it's very clearly stated. It's a very very well-defined sheet on page 24 of the presentation, but we'll just, for your benefit, just speak it out. So we are adding DS and DMH. We will launch probably third to fourth quarter. Then we are expanding our modified starch portfolio, which includes ketonic starch,
carbomethyl
starch, feather starch, gulal, spray starch, and also hydrol. So all these will come between now and before the end of the financial year, progressively. That's a significant addition to the value add portfolio. In fact, Anilji has spoken about it, but as we were doing this expansion, new markets and new product opportunity opened up. So we actually increased our scope of expansion to add some more products to the portfolio, because then it makes us a very complete starch player in India and globally. That is A. And secondly, because of that, we also slightly increased our cogeneration power capacity also, so that we don't have to go back to so we're more complete on our own power generation.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Naman, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on a good set of numbers. Two questions from my end. One was, at full capacity utilization of 1650 tons per day, what is the optimum revenue levels that we can reach, and how do we see this ramping up?
About 15 to 16.
because we at the moment we are operating at our entire manufacturing turnover was about 800 crores.
You were up.
So you can imagine that of course 2 months of capacity is not there. We started from 26 May and ramping up will take about a couple of weeks. But peak will of course if the production is doubling, the revenue will also double.
At least double.
Yeah. And plus value added products. And it depends a lot on the maize prices. If the maize prices come down, of course the turnover will come down accordingly. Not pura puri, but thoda bahut kam.
Yeah, because this is a raw material heavy and a commodity. Raw material is a commodity, so the revenue also moves with the commodity. But I think you can ballpark say it will at least double. But there will be cycles where because of the raw material prices, the revenue will fluctuate a bit.
So are we expecting that we will be operating at optimum capacity starting H2 FY27?
That is like trying to get a guidance indirectly. I think we'll refrain it from there. We want to stabilize the plant and we've already said that we'll get back to you between Q2 and Q3, Q1 and Q2 with the firm guidance.
But our back history was as always.
But in the past we have already always very quickly ramped up to full capacity. So up till the time we come to guidance, request you to do your own mathematics on this.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Manan Pamani with Mission Street. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations, sir, on the expansion. A couple of things on finance. So what is the peak debt that we are expecting as we undergo this capex? And one bookkeeping question for current year, that the other current assets has increased substantially on the balance sheet. So what comprises, what business decision comprises that, and just some clarity on that. Thank you.
Yeah. So at present, our net debt is around 45.65 crores. Now, with the number of capex which is coming during this financial year, so it is expected that it should be around 750 crores of total debt. That includes the working capital debts also, CC, etc. Now, coming to your second question about this current assets. Now, if you see our current asset, our cash conversion cycle is 50. Which has gone down significantly from the last periods, and the receivables and inventories has also the number of days has also decreased in that.
Yeah, no, that I agree, sir. I'm talking about the other current assets which have gone from 56 crores to 170 crores in the balance sheet for the reported period.
So, if you are talking about other current assets, it's because of the advances which we have given at the end of this year, that is in the March, because as we are revamping our capacity to 1650, and we have already done in the month of May, so we need to give the advances for this raw materials for the maize procurement to all the new suppliers and to all the others, so that the flow of the raw materials becomes smooth. And plus advances has been given to different warehouses where we will be storing it. So as a result of which there is a significant increase in the advances which has happened, which has increased from 45 to 156. So this is the main reason why this has increased.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shivam with First Seed Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, on the 1650 TPD expansion, what kind of utilization are we expecting? If you could help me quantify on this number, sir, for 27.
We just answered that question question before this. As we ramp up, as you've seen in the past, we very quickly reach the optimum capacity. So we will reach the optimum capacity, which is literally 100% of the rated capacity fairly quickly. We will not like to venture the exact date now as the capacity is getting ramped up. But as we said, between Q1 and Q2, we will definitely come up with
affirm guidance on all the numbers, all the key numbers.
Okay, sir. And so what kind of commissioning or ramp-up challenges do you foresee in the expanded facilities for 2027, especially following the power plant expansion and so on? Do you have any guidance for the same?
The power plant is fully operational. Out of 10 MW new power plant, we're already drawing out 5 MW, which is required by us at the moment. Regarding the other ramp-up facilities, it's basically depending on machine to machine. We have already started producing from a new plant. We will take a few days or maybe slowly we'll start pushing more material and start producing. That should not take, I would say, if nothing goes wrong, if everything is fine, it should not take more than 15, 20 days.
Basically weeks and not months.
Not months. A week, basically.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rith Jain with First Water. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to know the price of maize currently. What is the current price?
Sir, the current price of maize at the moment is Bihar is different. All these states have different prices. I just cannot tell you ki kaun sa price kahan pe kya chal raha hai. That is not, data is not with me. What is in Bihar, sir, you can also see is in NCX. It's already available in the portal, in the open domain, public domain, where you can get all the prices, sir. Of course, from last year, the prices are down.
Okay. I have just one concern. The government keeps on talking about the increasing the ethanol blending capacity. Keeping this in mind, do you see the prices at a higher level going forward, or you are saying the prices should be at the current level only?
Sir, the government is increasing the ethanol. They are planning to increase the ethanol. Along with the ethanol, the government's thrust over maize is very, very big. Huge, I would say. Every time when we meet the agriculture secretary and department, they always like maize, maize. Pehla baat. The second thing, the government is also sitting on huge stocks of broken rice, of rice, which they are allocating to the plants. Maize in near future, I'm not sure whether maize prices will increase or decrease, but accordingly, the finished product should also improve, which we have seen.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Pritesh with Lucky Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. One question. Now since you must be procuring the maize, so versus the whole of last year, how much lower price should the maize come at versus last year? Is it a rupee lower, 2 rupee lower, 3 rupee lower? Whatever be that ballpark number.
Sir, last year, the maize basically hovered between 18-23, 24. 23, I would say, not 24 rather, 23. There was about a 4-5 rupees ka differences of up and down what maize market saw.
No, my question was, sir, versus last year's procurement, whatever be the price that you would have, average procurement, and beginning this year, so this year, what is the delta change one should look at?
Sir, delta change, of course, the maize prices compared to last year's is less, sir. Is less. Is approximate, you would say about at the moment because of the crop aaya hai, Bihar still is, the crop is yet to completely full-fledged come. We have started getting the farmers delivery since about 15, 16th of May only, not too long because of the rain which was happening. It should come down to about 10% compared to last year, sir. That is my calculation.
Okay. Basically 2 rupees, what about it, 2 rupees, between 2 and 3 or 1.5 and 2.5 is what should be the delta change in maize procurement prices.
Yes. Yes, sir. That is my
Okay.
expectation.
Is there any incremental delta change in the realization that one should know which would have panned out in the last six months, up or down delta change in your product basket?
Sir, are you talking about the finished products?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
The finished product, there's a huge delta change between the finished product of co-products. The co-products was what we mentioned, germ, gluten, fiber. There's a huge, huge between the last quarter, quarter four, and quarter one of this year. Sometimes from March it started. And starch has also started looking up because of opening of the export market again. Starch prices have also come up. The value addition from maize to starch is higher than last year.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pritesh with Mission Street India. Please go ahead.
Sir, you mentioned about commissioning value-added products gradually throughout this year. So what is that value-added product schedule of commissioning? And how much percentage of revenue will increase in value-added product vis-a-vis last year?
So the value-added product schedule is the DMH and the DAH, which constitutes also of another 50% of what we'll be increasing. We have already done 230 tons already commissioned. Another DMH, DAH, that will be coming in between quarter 3 to quarter 4, sometimes in December, January. You know, I'm trying to give you exact date. And the value-added products, what, the 28% last year, Kitana? And last year, the jump of...
From 3% to about, in the full scale. So it will go up from 2%, about 3% in FY26 to a full capacity. When we run the full capacity full year, it will go up to about 35% plus on the value add.
You mean 3% to 35%, is it? 3% to 35%.
So, because value added was hardly there in FY26.
Yes.
It's just being ramped up.
Right. So, and what do you see?
That was the capacity which we have done now, right?
No, 3% to 35% is a very big jump in value-added product.
Let me explain just the mathematics of it. I understand you're coming to whether there's a market or not. That energy will answer, but there was hardly any value-added product in 26. All of it is in the current expansion being added. That's why it's increasing significantly. And you can continue with your next question. My question is,
what will be the revenue impact? Because what is the differential between value-added product and selling a commodity product per kg? What is the difference in the value?
So that guidance exactly I will be able to give you sometimes in the H1. But mota moti guidance that it will be, of course, be a delta should be about 20-25% over the starch prices. It is starch prices.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Surya Naik with Suniti Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just my question to Sanjeev Bhai. Sanjeev, in the past, out of, let's say, 825 tons per day, the existing capacity, whatever the capex will be, so accordingly the byproduct and the value-added products will come. So because you are going from 3% to 35%, so that is a significant jump. So is there any substantial allocation to value-added products this time happened?
Yes. If you see the slide, we have doubled the capacity from 800 plus to 1600 plus, a large part of this capacity is getting to be feeded into the value-added product. That's why my raw maize, I mean the native maize increase in native starch will not be very high delta. Most of the delta is going into value-added product. And if you look at the slide 24, I have already listed out in this call, earlier question, DH, DM, hydrol, liquid glucose, MDP, and then all the other modified starches that we have, including gulal, all of it is happening now, and they're all value-added products.
So to get the benefit of for everybody, just to what I was asking is that, let's say separate out the current ongoing facility and the previous last year facility up to 825. So let's say 825 per tons was, let's say, 400 crores. Out of that, native and others was X, and the value-added products are Y. then the X and Y, suppose, you know, that proportion you give, and the current proportion of 425 tons, you give the X, Y and Y, so that, you know, we will be clear.
Okay, we'll tell you what the percentage. So earlier, about 65% of our total produce was native starch, which we had to sell native starch. 65% of the 825. And about 30 were the maize byproducts, co-products. Okay, that is a natural consequence. And only 2-3% was value-added products. Now,
no, I'm not talking about the value. I'm talking about the capex.
So that I think we'll have to get back separately because I don't have the number right here. But I suppose that a good portion of the capex this time has gone into value-added products.
Okay.
We don't have to do that. We can send it mathematically.
So okay, can it be considered that the let's say 12% is the base EBITDA margin we are working on, and maybe come whatever, it may not fall below that. So, I mean, of course,
sir, any attempt for you to extract from us the guidance is going to be futile now. We will get back with a firm guidance between Q1 and Q2. Please bear us till that time. We are ramping up the production. We want to focus on stabilizing the, it's a very large expansion. So far, we have been very successful in ramping it up very quickly. We are very hopeful, very confident that it will be, will ramp up very quickly. As you already said, not months, but weeks, within weeks. But we also are adding, and these other products which you're talking about, well, most of them are coming online towards the later part of the year. So let's wait for Q1, between Q1 and Q2, we will come with a very, very structured guidance.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Prem Soni, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, I am audible.
Yes, please.
Yes,
hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the industry bifurcation side. Like, what kind of revenue is on the food, pharma, and agriculture and other aspects? Can we put some details on that?
So, giving such details, food, pharma, and all these things is just is a competitive thing which we have. So, not on a call, sir. If you want, we can always do it later, but not on a call, sir.
Okay. So, sir, as we like second question is on the value-added segment. We were having discussions on the value-added segment that we are going to about 20-25% or in the value-added segment from 3% current. So, like, how are we moving toward, and like right now we are on 3%. So in this particular year, how much we can generate revenue from the value-added segment? Can we just put some details on that?
So I think the ramp-up is happening this year. At the peak capacity, we will be about 35% value-added. But this year we will be closer to 20% because of a large 20-25%. Okay. But as it ramps up, so it will depend on the commissioning, but it will be anywhere between, hopefully between 20-25% this year and around 35% next year.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for their closing remarks.
So, thank you everyone for joining us today and for your continued interest in Regal Resources. We appreciate your time, participation, and insightful questions. We remain committed to executing our growth strategy, strengthening our value-added product portfolio, and creating sustainable long-term value for all stakeholders. We look forward to interacting with you again next quarter. Thank you, and have a great day.
Thanks a lot, Arihant Capital, for hosting this call. And also, I know that there was a long queue of questions, but I'm sorry that we're constrained by time. And we don't want to hold people on a day which is a holiday, which is rare for people who are associated with stock market. But however, please feel free to get in touch with Futures Advisors for any follow-up question. We'll be happy to share with you whatever insight we can give, which is publicly available information. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Arihant Capital Markets, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.